The cyber landscape is constantly evolving, creating new challenges and opportunities to defend against sophisticated attacks. At Northrop Grumman, we provide a wide range of capabilities to stay ahead of these threats. To learn more, visit northropgrumman.com/cyber.
Welcome to the Defense and Aerospace Report's weekly cyber report sponsored by Northrop Grumman. I'm your host, Vago Maradian, and joining us today is one of the nation's great cyber minds, Dr. Jim Lewis of the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Jim, thanks very much for joining us.
Great. Thank you for having me on the show.
Let's start out with Chris Krebs, obviously the president of the United States, terminated, the director of the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency over at the Department of Homeland Security. Chris is a Republican stalwart, having served in the Bush administration, served in this administration in an all new capacity to try to fight disinformation and to ensure security of America's cyber infrastructure, certainly a sign that this administration was taking cybersecurity seriously. And at the end of the day, said this was the safest election and got fired. From your perspective as somebody who's watched this in a very bipartisan fashion, what signal does that send when you have such a dedicated public servant who's done such a terrific job and at the end of the day gets fired like this?
You know, I don't think we should overgeneralize from it. Chris did a great job. His firing was entirely political. None of us should be surprised if you're, as a president, a guy whose reality TV show always ended with the line, "You're fired." So I don't want to overgeneralize. Chris did great. This is pure politics. Doesn't probably set a trend other than people won't want to work in an administration like this, should we ever have one again.
What are the challenges, right? So as the Biden team gets into the saddle, your colleague Suzanne Spaulding is over at the team taking a look at homeland security issues. Obviously, as the new administration tries to enter office, whenever the transition formally begins, of course. And obviously her job was what CISA was before CISA became CISA. At the end of the day, what do you think are elements from the Trump administration that Team Biden should be picking up and moving forward with?
You know, the Trump administration pretty much continued the Obama administration. And so there was a lot of success there. They need to look now at how maybe you take the next step in getting companies to be a little more formal in observing the NIST framework, still useful after all this time. They need to think about how they adjust to the new technologies and interconnections that we're going to see. So CISA has done a pretty good job. There's room for improvement. I think that Suzanne, you know, inherits an organization that compared to where it was, say, before she got there the last time, is in much better shape. But the big challenge for the Biden administration is we had a really weak hand at the White House on cybersecurity. And some of this was the administration didn't take it that seriously. Some of it was they wanted a different organization. And so what you've seen is agencies sort of go off on their own. And Obama had been pretty successful in imposing order on that. But I just talked to a company where they said, look, I get warnings from FBI and I get warnings from NSA and I get warnings from DHS. Who should I be listening to? And the answer is we need to sort that out. The old system was FBI did law enforcement and crime, DHS did homeland security, NSA did national security, and the lead agency was DHS. So we need to go back to having a lead agency, a strong White House coordinator. And I hope that's something the Biden administration will do.
The Cyberspace Solarium Commission, one of their number one priorities, I mean, their number one priority was one throat to choke, right? Let's also sort out the congressional lines, but that's going to be a little bit more complicated. Our understanding was that Chris was sort of resisting that and in fact thought that he should be that centralized authority if we can understand the news coverage of it. At the end of the day, do we need one throat to choke? And how important are the Cyberspace Solarium Commission findings? You know, it seems like it's a lifetime ago at this point, Jim, that they made in March.
I see the report as sort of a missed opportunity. And it has some very valuable suggestions in that I hope the administration will pursue. They were a little too DOD-centric. Other people say that. They're still wedded to this 20th century concept called deterrence. Time to get over deterrence, folks. But there's some valuable stuff in there, including the need for some kind of central coordination. I understand Chris's desire to be the lead agency, and on some issues, DHS should be the lead agency. But one thing we all know is that in Washington, when you have very powerful agencies like DOJ and DOD, DHS is not going to be able to pull the leash on them. Only the White House can do that. So give DHS a lead role for the issues where it has expertise, but don't expect them to coordinate an interagency process.
How's the best way to do that at the end of the day, right? I mean, to try to get to that degree of slightly more centralized control, slightly more centralized authority, maybe, or maybe oversight, right? I mean, whatever the term you want to use, what's the right way to do that?
So that's where the Solarium Commission actually had some useful material on the need for some sort of centralized cyber oversight body. You could argue about the specifics. You know, some people have proposed years ago that we need something like a USTR for cyber. Not clear that would work right now. We don't need a cyber department. It's premature, if nothing else. You don't want to make them a standalone entity because they'll end up being like the drug czar and located out on New York Avenue in the Northeast. So I keep coming back, and I think their recommendation has this in mind, a strong White House role, a strong White House leadership out of the National Security Council to guide DHS, FBI, NSA, state, as we move forward on cyber issues.
Two questions. Why do you say cyber deterrence is dead? You know, because almost everybody you talk to still talks in those terms of cyber deterrence. Why do you think cyber deterrence is dead?
I think cyber deterrence is dead because it hasn't worked, right? Now, you could talk about other things we could do that could make it work, but we haven't deterred anything. So, you know, what, and the kabuki of deterrence, I don't like deterrence for a couple of reasons, but one reason is deterrence is a defensive strategy. Deterrence is, we like the status quo, don't do anything that will upset it. Unfortunately, our primary opponents are intent on upsetting the status quo. They're intent on figuring out ways to circumvent American deterrence, and they've done really well. We haven't deterred anything in cyberspace. We need a different approach. Someone came back to me from DOD and said, look, nuclear deterrence still works. True. Too bad that's not where the fight is anymore.
And so what does it look like? Right. So what's the mindset we need?
So to give him credit, General Nakasone is, I think, taking the right approach. We need defend forward. We need persistent engagement. The way that you shape opponent behavior is by engaging with them, not sitting around waiting and hoping that you're going to scare them off. Right. And so there are agreed norms from 2015. China and Russia ignore those norms. The only way that norms become observed is when there's some penalty for ignoring them. So we're past the time when we can deter. We now have to engage. And yeah, that's a little risky, but I think we're in an environment where risk is inevitable. We're not going to have a risk-free cyber strategy.
And what are the biggest challenges Team Biden is going to face in sort of getting in the saddle here?
You know, I think they've come in with a pretty good approach. And so I think a lot of it is, what do we do about China? What do we do about Russia? Cyber is not a technical issue anymore. It's not a cyber thing. It's part of a larger foreign policy. So whatever we do on Russia and China will determine the effectiveness of our cyber policy. And probably that's true for Iran as well, you know. And so as they rethink those key foreign policy issues, cyber should be a part of it. I think they have to do a little cleanup on the organization. We've talked about that. Should be relatively easy to do. There'll be a desire to, each agency will want to preserve its independence. We know that jointness is the way to go in cyber. They're going to need to think about how they work more closely with our European allies. And that's been a central weakness of the Trump administration. But we have a real opportunity here to build common understandings, common approaches. And there is a, an effort to get a coalition of Western democracies to take common action on cybersecurity. So that's a major challenge, a major diplomatic challenge. But, you know, organization, foreign policy, diplomacy, they have a lot to do, but I think they're going to be able to do it.
What's Chris Krebs's legacy going to be at CISA, given that he got an extraordinary amount done in the 2 years or so, 2.5 years he was there?
Chris's legacy will be standing up CISA, which was a great triumph, and in really solidifying DHS's relationships with the private sector, turning them into more than just verbiage. So CISA, private sector, great job, Chris.
And two pretty secure elections. In 18 was better than 16, and 20 was, as he put it, and others agree, the most secure election we've ever had.
Yeah, no, and that was done in partnership with a lot of the big social media platforms. So great job on the elections. And as we know in Washington, no good deed goes unpunished.
That's both hilarious, Jim, and not funny at the same time. Thanks so very much for joining us, and hope you and yours have a terrific Thanksgiving. Thanks again.
Talk to you soon.
Everyone is a contributor at Northrop Grumman, and every day is an opportunity to help defend our nation and our allies. Visit our careers page at ngc.com to learn about joining the Cyber and Intelligence Mission Solutions team.